The following program is a recorded broadcast. Please do not attempt to call the program. Phone lines are not open.
We're going to spend an hour here on Issues Etc. for about the next 55 minutes talking about the Church Universal and Triumphant. You may have heard the name Elizabeth Clare Prophet. Well, we're going to talk about her view and the view of the Church Universal and Triumphant of Jesus Christ. Does it square with Christianity? Does it square with the Bible? Does it square with history? My guest in this hour, Luke Wilson, he's executive director for the Institute for Religious Research based in Grand Rapids, Michigan. He's author of an article titled, The Jesus of the Church, Universal and Triumphant, Is He the Jesus of History and the Bible? You can join us. Our phone number is 1-800-730-2727. Luke, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd. Happy to be with you.
Give us a thumbnail sketch of the Church, Universal and Triumphant.
Well, Todd, I guess the easiest way for most people to understand this group is that it's kind of a blend of some of the basic New Age themes that we hear about and read about, a blend of New Age and Christianity, especially sort of the Christian Science view of Christianity, where Jesus is a good man who has miraculous powers, but he's not really the Jesus that we recognize from the New Testament and traditional Christianity. So there's the idea that all of the universe has a divine essence that permeates it, that human beings, you and I, are a part of this divine essence, that we're all God's children, but God is conceived of oftentimes as kind of an impersonal force or energy in the universe. So it's a blending, really trying to take that kind of New Age view of religion and the world and blend it with Jesus Christ in some Christian vocabulary. So I guess that would be sort of a synopsis.
Give us some history of this. Well, you say it fits squarely within the New Age movement.
Well, yeah, I can give you some history, Todd. Really, what happened is back at the end of the 19th century, a movement sprung up that is called Theosophy. And really, Theosophy reflects an interest that people way back over 100 years ago in America and in Europe were having in Eastern religion and philosophy. And in that idea that I just mentioned, the term pantheism, the view that all is God and God is all, that pantheistic view of God, interest in things like reincarnation, this really was beginning to surface amongst some people here in America and particularly also in England. And so the Church Universal and Triumphant really comes out of this movement called Theosophy. Interest in some of these Eastern religious themes. There was a movement earlier in the 20th century that was part of this Theosophy movement, and they developed this terminology of ascended masters. And these ascended masters were supposed to be human beings who, through multiple reincarnations, had evolved to a higher form of existence and spirituality. And these ascended masters were thought to give revelations to certain human beings who were seeking enlightenment. And so the idea of this Theosophy movement and this early 20th century ascended master movement was that people who are seeking enlightenment can get contact from these ascended masters, and they themselves can then learn the supposed secrets of evolving to a higher spiritual state. And really what the ascended master movement did is they made Jesus Christ just another one of these ascended masters. The idea is that Jesus was a mere human being, but he was somebody that tapped in to this idea of a higher spiritual power. And over the centuries, he became one of these ascended masters. And so the ascended master movement and the Church Universal and Triumphant as an outgrowth of that, they see Jesus Christ of one as one of a number of these ascended masters. So he isn't the unique Jesus Christ of the New Testament. He isn't God in the flesh. He isn't the Savior who has come down, offered himself as an atoning sacrifice to bring us into a right relationship with the one true and living God. Rather, he is a sort of guru, you might say, one of a number of gurus, and he can help us supposedly achieve this more enlightened view of the world, and then through our own reincarnations we can get in harmony with the universe and become enlightened beings. So that's kind of the message of this movement in a nutshell.
How did they deal with the fact if all the wise men of old and of the present day are merely ascended masters? How do they deal with the fact that if we examine their teachings, they seem to objectively contradict one another?
Well, you know, it's a characteristic, I think, Todd, of the New Age movement in particular, in general, and the Church Universal and Triumphant, that they aren't nearly as concerned about doctrinal accuracy as Christians, especially evangelical Christians, are. I think evangelical Christians take the Bible very seriously. Our view of truth is that there is a true and living God, that through the prophets of Israel and the apostles of Jesus Christ, he has revealed himself, who he is, what he's like, how we can come back into a right relationship with him. And he's done this authoritatively through the biblical writers. And so our whole approach to truth is that truth is known through the Bible, that there is only one true and living God. We can know of him in a general way through creation and through our conscience, but the only way that we can really know him in truth is through his revelation of himself in the Bible. And so we take the specific message of the Bible very seriously. We examine individual passages, and we want to be sure that we are properly interpreting those passages according to their historical meaning, as to in terms of what they intended. And that's our approach to the Bible. People in New Age movement, people in Church Universal and Triumphant, they don't have that view. They don't look at the Bible as authority. They look at it as one of many sources of information about religious truth. And so, essentially, they seem to be willing to tolerate or put up with a lot of contradictions, and they're more just looking for a general theme of religious truth and enlightenment. And so a lot of the specific contradictions that would really raise a red flag for most serious biblically oriented Christians tend to get pushed aside by people from Church Universal and Triumphant and New Age. They just pick and choose a theme here, a word there that they find interesting, and don't really take the Bible seriously in its overall message. I guess that'd be my answer to your question.
You mentioned before theosophy is a major influence in the Church Universal and Triumphant. You also mentioned in your paper New Thought. What's that?
Well, again, New Thought is a religious movement, I guess we could call it, back in the 19th century, that really was very interested in the powers of the human mind. I think we probably can see a part of this New Thought movement and say, yes, there's some legitimacy there. We wouldn't accept its overall message. But I think the mystery of the human mind, how much of our human life is influenced by our attitude, how, and even in the Bible, Todd, we see the book of Proverbs talks about how important our a joyful spirit can be to physical health. So there is certainly, in a very general sense, we could say that a person's mental health impacts their physical health. And I think back in the 19th century, people became very intrigued with the idea that a person's mental attitude, a positive attitude, could have a very profound effect on their life and on their physical body. But really, New Thought is going far beyond what just the idea of a relationship between mind and body, and is essentially saying that we can virtually create reality. We can virtually heal ourselves. We can virtually change our circumstances by a positive mental attitude.
Is this would this be synonymous with the mind sciences today?
I think this would fall within. This would be an expression of the mind sciences, and the mind sciences as we see them today certainly have been heavily influenced by this New Thought movement.
Real quickly, before we go to our break, how do we get to the point of Elizabeth Clare Prophet in the history of this?
Well, Elizabeth Clare Prophet married a man by the name of Mark Prophet. And Mark Prophet had left one of these theosophy groups. This is really one of the things that you see in theosophy, that when a strong leader comes along, he or she will tend to want to say, well, I've had contact with these ascended masters, and now I'm going to develop my own specialized religious movement based on the supposed revelations that I've gotten. So she married Mark Prophet, who had broken away from another theosophy group and started his own movement. And out of between Mark and Elizabeth Prophet together really started what is now known as the Church Universal and Triumphant.
Okay, when we come back, we're going to finish up with the history of the Church Universal Triumphant and then get in particular into more of their teachings, in particular with respect to the person of Jesus Christ. My guest in this hour is Luke Wilson. He's Executive Director for the Institute of Religious Research based in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I'm Todd Wilkin. Our phone number, 1-800-730-2727. Stay with us.
You're listening to Issues Etc. on the Jubilee Network.
Are you looking for a vacation this summer where you can relax, renew, and refocus? Well, I have just the opportunity for you. It's a Confessional Christian Worldview Seminar, June the 20th through the 27th at the Marvin M. Schwann Retreat and Conference Center in Trago, Wisconsin. It's about 2 hours from Minneapolis. Not only will you have the chance to relax in the beauty and serenity of the picturesque Namekagon River, two private lakes, miles of hiking trails, and abundant wildlife, but you'll also have the opportunity to refocus and renew by listening to instruction from Issues Etc. regular guests, Craig Parton, George Mather, Angus Manouge, and Rolf Preuss. For more information, go to our website, issuesetc.org, or call the Schwann Center at 1-800-577-4848. Ask for information on a Confessional Christian Worldview Seminar, June 20th through the 27th in northern Wisconsin, 1-800-577-4848.
My guest in this hour, Luke Wilson, is Executive Director of the Institute for Religious Research based in Grand Rapids, Michigan. You can check out their website by visiting first our Issues Etc. website at www.issuesetc.org. Go to the section titled Links with Regular Guests, and there you'll find a direct link to Luke Wilson and the Institute for Religious Research. Or if you want to receive the Institute for Religious Research's free Heart and Mind newsletter, call our Issues Etc. resource line at 1-800-737-0172, and we'll give you the phone number and mailing address for the Institute for Religious Research. That resource line number again is 1-800-737-0172. Okay, we get to the point of Elizabeth Clare Prophet and her husband Mark. How does she become the one who's associated with the Church Universalist and triumphant?
Well, Mark Prophet was considerably older than his wife, and died, I believe he died about 30 years ago. And so his wife, of course, succeeded him. She was a very bright, intelligent lady, very articulate. Had been a co-leader of the movement, and so after his death, she really became the dominant force in the movement. Now, I ought to just mention it in terms of the current situation that she really was forced to retire from leadership of the movement about 2 years ago when she began to exhibit signs of Alzheimer's disease or a general symptoms of that nature. And so that movement has really experienced some significant decline because of the absence of her leadership.
And what position does she hold in this? Merely founder, or is she considered to be on par with an ascended master as well?
Well, she wouldn't have been considered an ascended master per se, but she was considered somebody who received revelations from the ascended masters. And I should add, Todd, that would include Jesus Christ. She and her husband wrote a number of books, co-authored a number of books, and after his death, she continued to author books on her own. And these books include one book called The Lost Years of Jesus, and then a three-volume set called The Lost Teachings of Jesus. And in that book, The Lost Teachings of Jesus, really the substance of the book is supposed to be a collection of various revelations from these ascended masters, and in particular, Jesus Christ. So they're saying that the same Jesus that appeared on earth 2,000 years ago, that he has continued to give revelations to Mark and Elizabeth Prophet, and that these revelations are contained in their three-volume set, The Lost Teachings of Jesus.
What do they purport to teach about Jesus?
Well, I think probably the easiest way to answer that question, Todd, would be to put it under several different headings. And let me kind of, we can maybe come at this from a couple directions, but I'll start out. I've already talked about some general New Age beliefs, and one of the most common principles that we see in New Age teaching, and we certainly see it in Church Universal and Triumphant, is the idea that God is an impersonal force rather than a personal, infinite personal creator. God is thought of as being this impersonal force, and the term that is used there is pantheism. That is, everything is divine or has a divine essence that goes through it. So God isn't thought of as a personal being who has created the universe. All of the universe is considered to be God or to be divine. So that would be a major tenet. Now, by contrast, Todd, when we read the Bible, and certainly the teaching of traditional Judaism, certainly the teaching of historic Christianity, both Roman Catholic and Protestant, is that God is an infinite personal being, that he is self-existent, and that all of the universe is his creation. So one of the strongest, most basic teachings of the Bible is that God is not to be confused with the world. The creator and the creature are two very different things, and the creation is totally dependent. It owes not only its existence, but continuing to be sustained moment by moment from this personal God of the Bible. And people in New Age movement simply do not understand or think of God as this personal creator. So that would be point one. A second point would be this idea that Eastern philosophy and religion, the Hindu view of, at least in some forms of Hinduism, that of this pantheistic God, that that can be blended with the message of Christianity. In other words, what I see the Church Universal and Triumphant trying to do is really to proclaim a basic New Age Eastern view of God and man, but to bring Jesus Christ and the Bible in and kind of hitch their wagon to Jesus Christ and the Bible, because most people in the United States do look at the Bible and Jesus Christ as being the basis for religious truth. And so in order to sell their message and make it more palatable, they naturally want to incorporate Jesus and the Bible into their message. And the problem is that the whole message, the whole underlying basis of their teaching is really incompatible with the Bible. The other thing, the third thing that I'd point out, is there is this seemingly endless fascination in the Church Universal and Triumphant and in New Age generally with this idea of secret teachings. And the idea is that the way that I can become a spiritual person, the way that I can experience harmony and mental health and a sense of purpose, is to delve in, tap in somehow to these mysterious secret truths that aren't available to the average person. And so what the Church Universal and Triumphant does is they say that Jesus Christ had a body of secret doctrines that aren't recorded in the New Testament, that were only for his intimate initiates or associates, and that these can be imparted to people through the Church Universal and Triumphant, through these lost teachings of Jesus that come through Mark and Elizabeth Prophet. So that would be kind of a little bit of a long answer to your question, but hopefully people would be able to pick up on what I'm saying here.
So in other words, Elizabeth Clare Prophet and the Church Universal and Triumphant really claim to be presenting a quote-unquote Christianity within Christianity.
Yeah, I think that's accurate, Todd. And what I would just encourage listeners to do, if they have some interest or have been impressed with this message, I would just encourage them to be very specific and say, is this, if you sat down with the Bible and read the Bible, would you ever come away, if you took it at its natural meaning, would you ever come away thinking that the authors of the New Testament or the prophets of Israel actually believed that God was an impersonal force? You can take a verse here and there and read that kind of teaching into it, but there's no way that you're going to honestly take the Bible and think that the biblical authors had such a view of God.
Luke Wilson is my guest. We're talking about the Church Universal and Triumphant. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Issues Etc. on the Jubilee Network.
Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. However, we are not funded by the church body. We're also not affiliated with Lutheran Hour Ministries or the Lutheran Layman's League. Issues Etc. is supported by listeners like you. Please help support this worldwide outreach by making a gift this week. Our address, Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Thanks for your prayerful consideration.
Wouldn't it be great if we went through life without any problems? Well, that's just not the way things are. Life can get tough, but we can face whatever comes along with peace and confidence, because there is reason for hope. We're your neighbors, the people of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and we'd like you to know that with Christ, there's plenty of hope to go around.
A message from your friends at Issues Etc.
Now this Global Minute focuses prayer on house church Christians in China facing persecution. Up to 120 house church leaders were recently arrested in China's Henan province. 20 were fingerprinted, fined, and immediately released because they weren't leaders. Some house churches are considered evil cults by the government and by the official Christian church in China called the Three Self Church. Paul Hadaway of the ministry Asia Harvest said one man arrested had already spent 16 of the last 20 years in jail because of his faith. It's not known what will happen to the 100 Christians being held. Usually after mass arrest, the authorities spend the first several days severely beating and torturing those in their custody. Pray that this won't be a fresh wave of persecution against Christians in China. Pray for freedom to share Christ's love and truth. Pray for global outreaches around the world and encourage others with your prayers. Log on to missionvisionnetwork.org and click on the Encouragement Center.
Welcome to the Meyer Minute. I should update my will, I know that, but things get in the way, you know. The Continuity of Government Commission will report today that September 11th showed our government and Constitution are not prepared to respond should an attack kill most members of Congress. We have a hole in the Constitution that the framers never anticipated, said scholar Norman Ornstein. Will more pressing things get in the way of Congress acting on that important report? I recall visiting a church member who was terminally ill. Try as I might, I couldn't get her to talk about the end. That's human nature, but that's not wise. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Psalm 90, verse 11. Since the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but fools despise wisdom, as Proverbs 1:7 says, shouldn't we prepare for our end? I updating my will, and you, what will it be for you? And what's more pressing for you than preparing to give an account of your life to God?
AM 850 KFUO has a great way for you to get the word out about your church. Become an AM 850 KFUO Church of the Week. In exchange for a financial gift, your congregation has 35 personalized messages throughout the week. That's five a day. We also recognize your congregation once an hour as the Church of the Week, and your pastor is featured on the morning show. For more information, contact Janelle Flerke at 1-888-930-4438.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'm talking with Luke Wilson in this hour for about the next 25 minutes. And we're talking about the Church Universal and Triumphant. He's Executive Director of the Institute for Religious Research based in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And he's written an article titled, The Jesus of the Church Universal and Triumphant. Is He the Jesus of History and the Bible? So you, when we went to the break, you were making the point, Luke, that an objective reader of the Bible would never come away concluding that the Old Testament prophets or Jesus considered God to be an impersonal force. But it strikes me, and I see suggested in your article, that Elizabeth Clare Prophet and the Church Universal and Triumphant do not use the Bible as their sole source of information when they suppose to bring us new secret teachings from Jesus, do they?
No, they certainly don't. And you really get the impression as you read the books of Elizabeth Prophet and listen to her tapes and videos and so forth, that she essentially is, as I mentioned earlier, is just picking and choosing certain things in the Bible that are interesting to her, but she's really not interested in letting the Bible speak authoritatively to people in general. Let me give you, for example, Todd, one particular verse that is used over and over again by not only by Church Universal and Triumphant, but by other New Age groups. They take the verse in Luke 17:21, where Jesus Christ says, "The kingdom of God is within you or among you," and they take that as they read that as teaching this New Age view that all of life, all of the universe is divine. And so they take that as saying that within the individual human being, there is this spark of divinity. But what any honest reader of the Bible has to do is take the Gospel of Luke as a whole, take the teaching of Jesus as a whole, and say, is that really what Luke, the biblical author, meant to report about the teaching of Jesus? And certainly, you can't simply lift that verse or that phrase out of the page, out of the context, and make it mean whatever you choose to mean. I have a statement here, Todd, from Dr. James Charlesworth of Princeton Theological Seminary, who I interviewed a number of years ago. And I asked him about this whole idea of people trying to attribute pantheism to Jesus Christ. Here is the statement that he gave me. He says, without any doubt, if we can trust the New Testament records regarding Jesus' view of God, he was a devout Jew who stressed the existence of one God and only one God. When he was asked about the essence of Torah, he quoted Scripture and the first command in it, first command being, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind. Now, returning to his quote, while some of Jesus' contemporaries apparently may have compromised Jewish monotheism by stressing the cosmic powers of angels and other beings, Jesus focused on the existence of one supreme God who was actively involved in his creation. And so what Dr. Charlesworth is saying is you simply cannot take a verse like Luke 17:21, lift it out of the page, and inject this whole New Age pantheistic worldview in it, and then attribute that to Jesus Christ. That is intellectually dishonest. That is not what Jesus taught. We have no reason to think that Jesus ever held or taught such a view of God.
What other sources does Elizabeth Clare Prophet make use of when she purports to bring us this kind of Christianity within Christianity?
Well, really, there are three things that you find in her writings and teachings. She's saying, essentially, that the New Testament itself has some evidence that Jesus Christ had a secret body of esoteric, New Age type of teaching. And I'll come back and give examples of that in a moment. Secondly, she is saying that there are various legendary accounts that corroborate this. There are various legendary accounts of that the Hindu and Buddhist teachers very early in the early Christian period, that Jesus Christ actually came and studied in these Buddhist and Hindu monasteries, and that that was the basis of Jesus' own view of religious truth. So they're saying he actually traveled to India in his boyhood and was tutored there in these Eastern religious views. And then the third leg of the stool would be these acclaimed modern revelations that Elizabeth Clare Prophet and her late husband Mark Prophet claim to have received from Jesus Christ. So that would be the three legs of their stool, Todd.
So they're not being completely honest when they say they are searching Scripture and finding these esoteric secret teachings of Jesus. They're actually making use of several other sources outside Scripture.
Well, they are, and I think the big thing that they're doing is they're taking, for instance, in the epistles of the Apostle Paul talks about the mystery of the gospel, and he talks about teaching the mystery of the gospel. Now, Elizabeth Prophet would seize on that word mystery and say, see, here we have one of Jesus' own apostles talking about this mysterious teaching, and that is teaching that supposedly wasn't given to all people, but only those who were in this inner circle. But here's the thing, Todd. If you take a passage, and Elizabeth Clare Prophet quotes this passage repeatedly, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 6, where the Apostle Paul is talking about the mystery, let me just read that verse. Paul says, the mystery is that through the gospel, that is the Christian gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel. So when Paul talks about the mystery, he goes on to tell us exactly what he means by the mystery. And what he means is not some secret teaching that I can get by meditation or that I can get by reading Elizabeth Clare Prophet's revelations. He's saying God has revealed the mystery. He's saying that God, through the coming of Jesus Christ, has made available to all people this relationship of forgiveness and new life through Jesus Christ. And both Jew and Gentile come into this covenant relationship with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob through the message of the gospel. So the mystery, Paul tells us exactly what the mystery is. And the mystery is that through the gospel, Gentiles are heirs together with Israel and Israel's God.
Who does Elizabeth Clare Prophet teach Jesus is? Ascended Master, but what else?
Well, yeah, she would teach that Jesus essentially is an enlightened human being who now has evolved to a higher spiritual status, and that he is an ascended master, that he contacts human beings like herself and gives them this secret teaching which they can pass on supposedly to other people and raise the whole human race to a higher form of spirituality. And they actually think that they can bring peace to the world through these ascended master teachings. And they would say that if people will open their minds up to these teachings, that they can enjoy the benefits of peace and harmony with reality, overcoming the powers of darkness and evil. So certainly they have wonderful intentions, but we'd have to say from the standpoint of biblical Christianity that they're really in darkness. They're really proclaiming a message of that really is a deceptive message, and that isn't a freeing and liberating message at all.
Is Jesus preeminent among the ascended masters, according to Elizabeth Clare Prophet?
Oh, not in any sense at all. No, Jesus is not conceived of as being preeminent, Todd. He is conceived of as being one of a number of ascended masters. He has no particular place of authority over these other ascended masters. So, whereas the New Testament, whereas Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man can come unto the Father but by me, whereas the Apostle Peter says that there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, they're saying Jesus is but one of many gurus or ascended masters who can help us attain enlightenment.
They make this distinction between Jesus the man and Jesus the Christ. What do they mean? About 30
well,
seconds
they,
before.
What they mean is that Jesus was simply a human being. He was a human being who was open to God. He was a human being who supposedly attained enlightenment. And then having attained enlightenment, now that made him the Christ. So they take Jesus as being a mere man. They take Christ as being a title for him in this role as ascended master. Now, whereas we as Christians would say Jesus the man was, in fact, God in the flesh.
But they could talk about Zoroaster the Christ or Buddha the Christ, or for that matter, under that definition, correct?
They absolutely could and do. One of the characteristics of a church universal and triumphant and of other New Age groups is this religious syncretism. So they're saying, basically, all of these different great religious figures from the past, whether it's Socrates, whether it's Buddha, whether it's Muhammad, whether it's Zoroaster, all of them brought teachings of enlightenment. Certain parts of their teachings are good and valid, and you sort of go through like you were going through the line at a delicatessen and pick and choose those parts you happen to find interesting.
We'll be right back with Luke Wilson.
You're listening to Issues Etc. on the Jubilee Network.
Noted author and history professor Dr. Paul Meyer on why he's a pastor in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Well, first of all, I'd like to explain why I'm a Christian pastor. And that's simply because our faith has the strongest historical and archaeological credentials of any of the world religious systems by far. It's based on fact and not on myth. Specifically, I'm also delighted to be a pastor in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod because we believe that Luther's teachings best reflect both Holy Scriptures and their interpretation in the early Christian church. Our church holds true to those teachings without wavering, while at the same time sponsoring great educational programs as well as a worldwide mission outreach.
If you want to learn more about the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, call our Issues Etc. resource line at 1-800-737-0172 and ask to receive a free pamphlet called What About the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod? 1-800-737-0172.
Folks, if you'd like to purchase a cassette copy of this program for a contribution of $6.50, or if you'd like to know how to contact Luke Wilson and the Institute for Religious Research, or if you want to order a complimentary free copy of our Issues Etc. journal, simply call our Issues Etc. resource line, 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. We're talking with Luke Wilson for about the next 10 minutes on the Church Universal and Triumphant. We've got a long ways to go, but a crucial question with regard to their teaching on Jesus. If he isn't the Savior, then what is he in the end, Luke?
Well, I think the first thing that we have to understand, Todd, is that according to the Church Universal and Triumphant, the issue, the need that we have as human beings is not seen as the need for forgiveness for breaking the law of the one true and living God.
What is our need?
Well, they would say that our need is to be in harmony with the universe. They would say that our need is to find out our true divine nature, that we, just as they would say, we, just as Jesus, are children of God, that we have a divine essence. They would say that the world around us, and even the Christian church, they would say, has really led us away from our divine nature, that by the Christian church, by teaching that we are sinners and that we are separated from God, is really diminishing our true divine nature. So they would even see the traditional Christian teaching of the gospel that I'm talking about and that you talk about every day on your program, they'd see that as part of the problem instead of part of the solution. They would say that you, Todd, and I, that we are teaching people something that is really keeping them from discovering their own divine nature.
So they just ignore when Jesus begins his ministry and continues his ministry preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near.
They really do. That is not something that they would take seriously as the real heart of our human need. And you know, I can just say myself, Todd, from my own experience in life, that I see myself most of the time as my own worst enemy. And I see that time in my life when I came to personal faith in Jesus Christ and experienced repentance, experienced a real change in my heart, as the greatest, most liberating moment that I could ever have, that God really made me aware of my need to submit my life and my will to Jesus Christ and to the Word of God. That's really the heart of the Christian message. God loves us, He's merciful, but we need to acknowledge our desperate spiritual need for His forgiveness and for a real change in our attitude and in our conduct.
What then do they teach with regard to Jesus' death? Is it simply an exemplary death?
It's an exemplary death. Yeah, I think that would be a fair way to say it, Todd. Sometimes they will even present Jesus' death as a sort of overcoming of the powers of darkness, but not in the sense of defeating the devil, not in the sense of bringing atonement for sin. So it's certainly Jesus' death is never presented. In fact, the Church Universal and Triumphant specifically rejects the whole idea that God is a holy God, that we are sinful, and that God needed to send His Son as a sacrifice for our sin. They violently reject that fundamental teaching of the Christian gospel, that God is holy, that we are separated from Him by the gulf of our sins, and that Jesus has bridged that gulf by bringing forgiveness and new life. They just violently reject that, and again, they would really present the Christian church as making things worse, making people have supposedly a lower view of themselves than they need to have.
So really, I think I spoke, I don't know if it was you or somebody else, about 6 months ago, we were talking about the New Age movement, and they pointed out four essential elements that are common to all New Age teaching. And if I remember correctly, they were that all roads lead to God, that man is essentially good, that man's real problem is ignorance, and that Christianity is bad. It sounds like they fit beautifully under that umbrella.
Oh, I think absolutely they do. And the thing that impresses me when I study New Age is that all of these different New Age groups and teachers, they disagree with each other on many, many things. The one thing that they seem to agree on is that these fundamental doctrines of Christianity are wrong. Apart from agreeing that Christianity is wrong, there isn't that much that they agree on. And so there is just a very basic rejection of the biblical teachings of a personal God from whom you and I are separated by the gulf of our sins, the atoning death of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ as the one divine Son of God who has come in the flesh for our salvation. These things are simply rejected out of hand.
Luke, by way of critique, as we wrap up our conversation here, is there any support whatsoever for their claim that Jesus taught an esoteric secret knowledge? Is there any support for that in the New Testament? You've addressed that a little bit, but in early first century Christian writings and thereafter?
Well, let me say this. I have, again, a statement here from Dr. James Charlesworth, and I'd like to read that, and we'll use that as a basis for wrapping this up. He says here, for centuries, self-proclaimed experts have tried to import into Judaism and earliest Christianity Indian philosophies. Intensive research by scholars has shown influence in Judaism and Christianity from various sources, but no influence has yet been found from Hinduism or Buddhism. And now specifically on this question of secret doctrine, he says, Jesus devoted his life to public teaching in the fields and on the outskirts of villages, as well as in the temple. In the evenings around the campfire, he most likely shared intimate reflections with those closest to him. One example was his teaching to the disciples regarding the Lord's Prayer. Now listen to this. In every case, we are confronted not by esoteric teaching, but with in-depth reflections on what he had spoken to the crowds. And Todd, you remember the words of Jesus in John 18:21. He's before the Sanhedrin after he's been arrested, and he says to them, "In secret, I have not taught anything." So Jesus makes a flat declaration. He is basically being accused by the Sanhedrin of subverting public peace and of being a rabble-rouser, of being a rebel. And his response is, "Everything that I've taught publicly, I've taught out in the open. I haven't taught anything privately to my disciples that I haven't taught publicly." And so the point is that if you want to know what Jesus Christ taught, open the New Testament, read the Gospels, read the epistles. These are the writings of his apostles, his disciples. They will give you a summary of what Jesus taught. Don't look for some secret doctrine of somebody claiming in the 20th century that they've had a secret revelation from Jesus Christ. Go right to the source. Go to the first century. Go to the writings of his apostles that have been handed down for 2,000 years. Let them tell you. They were with him. They lived among him. They followed him around. They wrote his words. They told us how he lived his life. They give us the Lord's Prayer, how he taught us to pray. Let Jesus' hand-picked disciples and apostles tell you what he believed, not some 20th century claimed prophet.
Luke, thank you very much for your time.
Glad to be with you, Todd.
St. Paul says when he is on trial for teaching the same thing Jesus taught, for teaching that Jesus Christ is, in fact, the only way of salvation, he says to one of his prosecutors, "You know, these things were not done in a corner. There was nothing secret about it at all," and his writings also reflect the fact that he has nothing to add of a secret nature to what Jesus did for our salvation there at the cross. Folks, you can check out the website for the Institute for Religious Research by visiting our website at www.issuesetc.org. Under that section titled Links with Regular Guests, you'll find a direct link to Luke Wilson and the Institute for Religious Research. You can also get their Heart and Mind newsletter if you want to know how. Call us at 1-800-737-0172. You can also call and get a cassette copy of this program for $6.50. 1-800-737-0172. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues Etc. to continue. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri 63117. Or you can contact us via our website at www.issuesetc.org. That's www.issuesetc.org. For a cassette copy of the program, call 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of this station or the Jubilee Network. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.